We have been in a series called Believe. Everybody say Believe. A fresh explosion of faith. Amen. That's what we're asking God to do in our lives. How many of you want a fresh explosion of faith in your lives and in your hearts? Amen. And so we have been in this series, and we talked about having a living and active faith. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those that seek Him, those who are diligently, continually seeking Him. Okay, so we want to be people that are continually seeking after God, seeking to know Him more, seeking for more of His goodness in our life, and so more of His power and His presence at work in our life. And so as we get started this morning, let's all stand up, and we're going to say our five-statement explosion of faith that we have been saying over the last several weeks. One of these weeks, I'm going to tell Israel not to put it on the screen. I'm going to test you and see if you can remember. Let's put our hands up and come on, one at a time. Number one, God is who His Word says He is. God is able to do what He says He can do. I am who God says I am. I can do all things through Christ. God's Word is alive and active in me. I'm believing God. Amen. Come on, let me hear you shout this morning. Amen. Come on, we're believing God. And so, two, three Sundays ago, we talked about that first statement of faith that we've been declaring, that God is who He says He is. That He is who the Word of God says He is. And we use the scripture in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And then we looked at who do we say? As Jesus turns it after He says, who do people say that I am? He then says, who do you say that I am? And then we said, who does God say He is? Amen? Because that's what's most important, is who does God say He is? And the Word of God is filled with all kinds of things that God is and that God will be in our lives. Amen? And so then last week, it was Pentecost Sunday, and so we segued off this idea of who is God, who does He tell us that He is in the Word, and we looked at, does He baptize? Amen? We talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there are many out there that want to deny it. There's many out there that say that it's not for today. I was raised in one of those denominations where it's not for today. I was taught and it was beat into me that all of that has passed away, that when the disciples and the apostles died out, all of that died out. And so we looked at that last week, and we actually saw in the New Testament that there's three baptisms. Israel, just real quick, put that slide up so that everybody can see that. There's actually three baptisms that the New Testament talks about. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. So we saw that that was our salvation. That was when we get saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. But then Jesus commanded that we be baptized in water. Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and baptize them, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we saw that as disciples of Christ, we're commanded to be water baptized, amen? And we looked at several scriptures in the New Testament where they got saved and immediately they went and they were baptized in water because it was an important part after they were saved. And so then we saw in Matthew 3:11, and we saw in John 1:33, and we saw in Luke 3:16, and we saw in Mark, I don't remember where Mark was, but it's 3-something, that Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, one who is coming after me, who is greater than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus immediately tells them in the book of Acts, before he goes into heaven, right before that time when he's telling them to go to Jerusalem and wait, he says that what you have learned of me, my Father will send the Helper, and you will be baptized with or in the Spirit. And so we talked about that Jesus indeed, God does indeed baptize us. Amen? Everybody with me? And so we're baptized in the body of Christ. We need to be baptized in water, and then we need to be baptized in the Spirit. And so last week we talked about how it's a gift that God gives. It's available to every believer, and you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, though, it's not something in a lot of churches where it's taught. Now, this is a church where it's taught. But what we want to do is we want to look scripturally and say, how is it taught? Why is it taught? What does the Bible really say about this? And so I've got another one of those non-controversial titles this morning. Last week, it's Does He Baptize? This morning is Does He Speak in Tongues? Amen. Talking about God. Does He Speak in Tongues? Okay, I don't know whether God speaks in tongues or not, but I know that He allows us to speak in tongues. Amen? And it's something that He has given to the church. And so we remember that on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit rushed in like a mighty rushing wind. Their fire split over all their heads, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And so then as you go on through the book of Acts, every time the Holy Spirit was poured out in a new place, every time that people got saved in a new way, then the Holy Spirit, when it came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And so we see that manifestation of the Spirit taking place. And so we see that in the book of Acts. And for a long time growing up, I thought that the book of Acts was the only part of the New Testament that talked about tongues, that talked about these things. And so I began to study, and I'm sure many of you have. And we find out as we get into 1 Corinthians that Paul begins to talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And one of them is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so this morning, we are going to talk about tongues. Now, here's what I want you to understand this morning. That when the Bible talks about the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, that it's actually talking about two aspects of the gift. That the gift of tongues in the church is like what happened this morning when a word comes forth in tongues, it needs to be interpreted. And so that's the gift of tongues in operation in the church. But I love the way Robert Morris describes it. He says for every believer, there's actually a grace of tongues. It's a grace gift of tongues. And it is the availability to every believer to have a prayer language that is their own, that they pray in, and it's praying in tongues. And so this morning, when I'm talking about tongues, I'm talking about, yes, the gift in operation like it was this morning, but even more so, I'm talking about the personal gift, the grace that God wants to give each and every believer to pray in their prayer language. It doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old, believers that believe can speak in tongues. Amen. And listen, when children get the baptism in the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues, they don't get a junior Holy Spirit. They get the same Holy Spirit that we get. Amen. And I have seen kids do amazing things. I'll talk about some of that in just a minute. But the gift of tongues, when it's used in the church, like this morning, it needs to be interpreted. It's kind of like small children. And so for those of you that have kids, and you remember when your kids were little and maybe you had one that was just a little bit older than the other one. I remember when Israel and Samuel are 2 years apart. And so I think Israel was about 3.5, maybe 4. And Samuel, so he was about 1.5 or 2. And we were sitting at the kitchen table and Samuel, blah, 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 and he's pointing at something. You know how babies are. Just talking baby talk. And Israel says, he wants some more mashed potatoes, Daddy. Just kind of looked at him. And Samuel's, blah, 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 blah. He said, he wants mashed potatoes, Daddy. So I wanted to see. And that happened every time. Every time Samuel was saying something, Israel could tell you what Samuel was saying. And so I wanted to test it. And so I gave Samuel some corn. Pushed it away. He didn't want no corn. So I gave him the mashed potatoes. He started laughing. Mashed potatoes, this is what I told you. And so we could see from a young age that Samuel had the gift of tongues and Israel had the gift of interpretation. Now, what we're talking about this morning is that personal prayer language. And maybe this is new to you. Maybe you've never heard anything like this morning. And so we have many that are here that didn't come from a Pentecostal background. And so we want to make it clear and explain it to you so that you can understand that, number one, and this is in your notes, number one, it's scriptural. It's scriptural. 1 Corinthians 14:2, and scriptures will come up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Do you notice that? He doesn't speak to men, but to God. It's not a message from God. He's speaking to God. And then he goes on and says, "For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit," so he's talking about speaking in tongues, "in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." So he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God in the Spirit. You have to see that. You might want to read that. This is all new to you. You might want to read that verse several times this week. That he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And so, when we read that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, we see that Paul is talking about speaking in tongues, right? He says it's in the Spirit and it's to God. Amen? So when we speak in a tongue, we're talking to God. Okay? Let's look at verses 14 through 17 of 1 Corinthians 14. Now watch your Bibles carefully as we read this. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue," if I pray in a tongue, did you see that? "If I pray in a tongue," this is Paul talking, "my spirit prays, but my understanding," the word there could be mind, it can be translated as mind. That word for understanding in the New Testament is used 21, it's used 22 times, 21 of the 22 times it's translated as mind. So he says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but the understanding of my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't understand what it is that I'm saying. Are you tracking with me here? All right. What is the conclusion then? Let's see what Paul says. He said, "I will pray with the Spirit." He's obviously talking about praying in tongues. Because he just said, if I pray in a tongue, I don't understand it. So he says, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Amen? Now, let me say something here, because I don't sense a whole lot of resistance to my message this morning, but I know that on some level, if people have been taught differently or they've heard differently, it may be hard to receive this teaching. It may be different, and it may be uncomfortable, and I can remember the first time I started hearing it, that, you know, it was somewhat uncomfortable as you were getting, because it had been so indoctrinated in my mind and in my teaching and in my upbringing that this was not for today. And so anytime you'd hear somebody talk about it, then it was just, you just begin to shut it down and you don't want to hear it and listen to it. Okay? And so the people that use the argument that it's not for today, they'll go to 1 Corinthians 13, where it says that when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. right? Well, that's obviously true. If the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. But what they'll say is that the perfect was the completed Word of God. That when the Word of God was totally completed, that we didn't need tongues. We didn't need the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But you know what it also says there is when the perfect comes, that knowledge will pass away. Has knowledge passed away? No. It says that we will know in part. I don't know about you, but I still only know in part. I don't know everything. And so the perfect, while the Word of God is perfect, the perfect that it's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13 is Jesus Christ. He is the perfect one. And when He comes and establishes His kingdom and the church age is over and we are living with Him and He's dwelling with us, then we won't need these gifts in operation in the church because we will have the perfect in front of us. Does that make sense? Let me say it this way. The Godhead is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. And I'm not downing Scripture. But the Godhead is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit did not cease to exist or operate in 393 AD when the Bible was canonized. Amen? Come on, He still ministers. He still pours out His Spirit. He still moves. He still speaks. All of His fruit, all of His gifts are available to all of His children. All right, where were we? Verse 15, let's pick up there. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, so you can sing in tongues. And I will sing with the understanding. Verse 16, otherwise if you bless, and that's another word for prayer. Talk about blessing the food. So he says, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So when we speak in tongues, it needs to be something that everybody can understand. And so he says, listen, if you pray in tongues, then the people need to be able to understand what you're going to say. That's why there's the gift of interpretation in the service. But listen, the point that I want you to understand this morning is not about the tongues and interpretation and all of that and how it's to be used in the body. It's the point that you can pray in tongues. Amen? Come on. Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lives, calls it praying with the Spirit, or in verse 2, he said that it is in the Spirit. Amen? And I was talking to a guy one time that was totally thought I was going to hell because I believed in speaking in tongues. I mean, just, he was so adamantly closed. And so he said, well, you know, it says there in 1 Corinthians 14, if I pray in a tongue. Doesn't really say that he did. And so I said, are you kidding me? You don't think the Apostle Paul prayed in tongues? And he said, absolutely not. He didn't speak in tongues, and there's not a Bible verse that says he did. And I said, brother, have you ever read verse 18 of this chapter that you're quoting from? Because verse 18 says, this is Paul speaking, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He didn't know what to say. You see, what's amazing is that when, and this is true of any of us, I'm not picking on that guy, it's true of any of us, when we are biased a certain way, We can't see the forest for the trees, and we will just jump over huge portions of Scripture that we've never taken the time to study for ourselves. We just kind of receive whatever's been told or taught to us, and we move on that way. You may know what I'm talking about. By the way, verse 39 of this same chapter says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. So don't forbid it. You know, there are churches out there that have forbidden speaking in tongues. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, do not forbid. It amazes me. Okay, it's in the Bible. Number one, it's scriptural. That's what we're talking about. Number two, this is what I want you to see this morning. If you've never spoken in tongues, if you don't have that gift, I want you to see that it's a benefit. It's a benefit. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Okay? Now, there's a lot of people that will use this verse to speak against praying in tongues. They'll use it as a way to say, you know, he who speaks in a tongue, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So that makes that greater, and it makes tongues lesser. Well, the first problem with that is that the word but here is a conjunction used in the Greek. It's used in the Bible over 2,700 times. Most of the time it's translated and. In other words, if it was translated and, it would read, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself and he who prophesies edifies the church. Some newer translations will use the word on the other hand. Now, the point here, I'm not worried about whether it's and or but or on the other hand. The point here in the Greek, there is a definite distinction between the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse. It's trying to draw a contrast between edifying yourself and edifying the church. Amen? And so we need to understand that. Because he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, to me, that's awesome. Because the word edify means to be built up. I don't know about you, but I need to be built up. Does anybody need to be built up? Anybody feel spiritually weak? Anybody feel spiritually drained? Anybody feel like they're not running on all cylinders in their spiritual walk? You need to be built up. Come on, you need to be edified. And so the benefit of speaking in tongues is that you will be built up. It's not a bad thing to pray in tongues. It's not a bad thing to speak in tongues. It builds you up. I can say it this way. When you read the Bible, you build yourself up. So again, what I want to point out about this verse, everybody listen to me, is that it's talking about personal versus public. Okay? So in this chapter, it's talking about personal. In fact, that's how we could pretty much summarize all of 1 Corinthians 14, is that it's personal use of tongues versus the public use of tongues. That it's for your personal, private use versus how it's to be used in public, in a congregational setting, in a corporate worship service. Amen? That's basically the whole thing. And so he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You could probably read it this way. We're talking about reading, how when we say reading the Bible, we build ourselves up. So I could say it this way. He who reads his Bible in private builds himself up. But he who reads it in public builds up the church. Amen? And so it's the same thing with tongues. But look at me, it's not saying don't build yourself up. It's saying you need to be built up, and when you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up. Now, earlier we said that Paul correlates praying in tongues. In other places, he calls it praying in the Spirit. Amen? So praying in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14 is the same as if we said praying in tongues. So if I said praying in tongues or I said praying in the Spirit, that would be the same thing. Amen? Everybody with me? Everybody see that? Okay, we can go back and look at 1 Corinthians 14:2 or 14:14 if we need to and see how those two things tie together. The reason I'm saying this is because I want you to understand, I thought after I began to look into this that 1 Corinthians 14 was the only other place it talked about it. I first thought it was just in Acts, and then I found out it was in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and then I thought, well, that's it. That's the only other place that talks about it. Well, I was wrong. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 6. Everybody knows Ephesians chapter 6 is the famous chapter on putting on the armor of God. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in about verse... 16, 17. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, having done all to stand, that you can stand in the day of evil. I'm not going to read the whole passage to you, but look at verses 17 and 18. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now listen, here's what I want you to understand. When we're praying through putting on the armor of God, we see all these plaques and all these things out there about putting on the armor of God, but many times when we're talking about it and when it's being taught, people stop where there is no period. They stop where there's no period. So we're to put on the belt of truth. We're to buckle the belt of truth around our waist. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. We're to take up the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, semicolon. Not period. Semicolon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we said that Paul correlates in 1 Corinthians 14:4 with praying in the Spirit to he who speaks in a tongue edifying themselves. So what I am telling you and what I believe is that when you put on the armor of God, a part of the armor of God, a part of the weaponry, a part of the power that God wants to give you comes as you pray with all prayer and supplication in your prayer language. It's a part of the armor of God. You can disagree with me if you want to. I don't really care. I just want you to see that it's in the Bible. Amen? When you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray with your prayer language. Look at Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. Jude says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. There it is again. Edifying yourself, building yourself up in your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. By praying in the Holy Spirit. I used to tell the boys and girls in children's church, if you went to the gym and you lifted weights, y'all can tell I do that a lot. If you went to the gym and you lifted weights, you'd have big old muscles, right? You'd be buff like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or I don't know who the bodybuilders are now. But, you'd have a beach body, right? You wouldn't be ashamed to take your shirt off. I'm going to get a tattoo of a beach ball. That way when I go to the beach, I can just walk around like this. In the same way, in the Spirit, you can build spiritual muscle. How do you build spiritual muscle? By praying in the Holy Spirit. And again, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And you need to be built up. You need to build yourself up. Years ago, when I was in college, around 1995, I've told y'all some of my stories about this trip, but in 1995, I was in still going to a more Baptist church. I hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. I was in the Baptist Student Union in college, and they had a conference that was coming here to Louisville, Kentucky. First time ever to come to Kentucky, first time ever come to Louisville. And came to this conference called Mission 95. About 6 or 7,000 college students from BSUs all over the country converged on Louisville. Week-long conference. They had, everybody knows who Louis Giglio is and the Passion Worship Band now. Well, at this time, Louis Giglio was leading worship at Baylor University for their Baptist Student Union. He had his worship team and band. They were there to lead worship. And now, out of Mission 95, if you've ever heard of the Passion Worship Conferences and all that stuff that are going around the world, that's where that started. It started in Louisville on that weekend. And so they were, Integrity Hosanna came and recorded a worship album that weekend, and I was in the choir, and it was an awesome week. But while we were there, they had missionaries that had flown in from all over the world to preach and to tell their stories. And I'm telling you what, it absolutely changed my life. It rocked my world. If I ever knew that I was called to be in full-time ministry, it was while I was there at this conference. And my BSU director knew the president of the Foreign Mission Board for the Southern Baptist. And he had preached a couple of messages while we were there. And Ben set it up for our group to get to meet the president of the Foreign Mission Board. I honestly don't even remember his name. Now, it's changed many times since he was there. But this was a great man, a great preacher, just an awesome fella. And somebody said, he preached this fiery message. I mean, it was just one of the most powerful messages I ever heard. And somebody I heard in the crowd say, you know, he speaks in tongues. And I thought, huh? And he said, yeah, he speaks in tongues and he doesn't believe, you know, publicly, Baptists can't teach about it, but he does it in his prayer closet. And so we had some time to meet with him and talk with him. And so while we were sitting there talking, I asked him, I said, hey, I said, somebody said that you speak in tongues. And I said, do you really? I was genuinely interested. I wasn't judging him. While it was told to me that it wasn't for today, I wasn't one of these hateful people that was just, you know, but I did like a good argument. I did like to discuss. And so I asked him, I said, do you speak in tongues? I said, he said, yeah. And I said, why? I said, why? And just real matter of fact and gently, he said, because the Bible says it builds you up. Went over my head at the time. He could have said, well, idiot, the Bible says. He didn't do that. He said, it builds you up. And then he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, I figure I need all the building up I can get. And, you know, here it is 20-something, 22 years later, and I figure I need all the building up I can get. Why would you not? Is there anyone here that would say you're built up as much as you need to be? I just don't need any more building up, Pastor. No, we all need to be built up. And there are those that will say, well, I'd love to do that. I love what you're talking about. I'd love to do it, but I just don't have the gift. Or I've heard people say to me over the years, well, if God decides to give me that gift, then I guess I'll have that gift. I'll take it. Well, here's what I want you to understand. We're going to close. We're going to pray for people. Number one, it's scriptural. Number two, it's a benefit. And number three, it's a choice. It's a choice. Let me show you again, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. For if, you see that? For if I pray in a tongue, in other words, it's a choice. For if, either I will or I won't. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then, verse 15? I will. Do you see that? I choose. I will or I will not. If somebody says, hey, let's go to the movies, you either say, I will or I won't, right? I will or I won't. It's your choice. I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. It's a decision that you make. It's a choice that you have. Now, I'm going to address this in such a way because I've heard people that want to argue or they have issues with it. But let me explain it to you this way. You're not going to one day be walking through Kroger's doing your shopping and suddenly go into a trance and grab the intercom and begin speaking in tongues over the intercom to the whole store. That would be akin to you walking out of the sanctuary today, and as you're walking out of the sanctuary, suddenly your checkbook pops out of your pocket and fills out a check and rips itself off and throws it in the offering bucket, and you say, "Wow, praise God, I've got the gift of giving. I've been asking God for this gift, and I guess He just now gave it to me." Come on, it doesn't work that way. You got to get the pen out and the checkbook out, and you got to open it up, and you got to write out a very large check to Destiny Church. Hey, if we're going to talk about giving, let's talk about giving, right? You got to write out that check, and you're going to throw it in the offering bucket. It's an act of your will. If you have the gift of teaching, those of you that are teachers in here, Kimberly's a teacher in a school. Some of you are teachers here in a church. Do you ever feel the urge just suddenly break into a trance standing in Kroger's and grab the microphone and start teaching? No, of course not. It doesn't happen that way. It's an act of your will. You can control it. It's a choice. Come on, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means it's your will. Come on, are you with me this morning? Are you mowing what I'm growing? So why would Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 give instructions on how and when to do it if it was uncontrollable? It's not uncontrollable. It's totally up to you. Amen? So here's my question for you this morning. Since it's scriptural, you see it all over the Bible. Since it builds you up, why would you not? I love Larry's example. We were talking about this Wednesday night. If somebody came up and said, Izzy, somebody said they're going to come give you a brand new car. It'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Somebody's going to give you a brand new car. And they said, but I'll give you a Yugo or a Lexus. Who? You want the Yugo, I'm sure, right? No. You don't want the Yugo. No. You want the Lexus, right? You want the Lexus. Why, when you're offered a Yugo or a Lexus, why would you take the Yugo? Listen, God wants to give us a Lexus. He wants to give us the Cadillac, amen, the Mercedes-Benz. He wants to give us the Rolls-Royce, whatever car you like, the Lamborghini Jappa. I don't care what it is. He wants to give you the best. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I tried speaking in tongues, but it sounded like a bunch of gibberish. And I said, well, of course it does. Have you read your Bible? Because the Bible says clearly, we looked at the verse at the beginning, you don't understand it. Just like when a child first starts speaking, you don't understand it. Come on, this is one of the biggest obstacles to people receiving. They want to understand everything about it. I want to know what I'm saying. You're not going to understand it because you aren't the one that the message is being sent to. You're talking to God. Now, if God chooses to tell you what you're praying about or interpret it for you, I've had times where I'm praying at home and I didn't know exactly what I was praying for, but then God will impress upon me that I was praying for something. But when I'm just saying it, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm talking to God. It's different than when we're in church and a message from God comes. That's tongues, and it needs to be interpreted. That's the other side of the equation. People are afraid. They want to figure it all out. They want to know what they're going to say. Well, what if I say the wrong thing? You just say what's in your spirit. Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to open myself up to a demon. Anybody ever heard that? I'm afraid that I'm going to open myself up to something that's evil or demonic. Look, we looked at this verse last week. We're going to look at it again real quick. Luke 11:11-13. Jesus said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, Boy, Jesus knew how to win friends and influence people. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, when you come to God in humility, when you come to Him in your just in yourself, trusting Him that He's going to give you the very best, and you recognize it's scriptural, you recognize it's a benefit, and you say, God, I want what you have for me. He's not going to give you a demon. He's not going to allow that. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Amen? Paul said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Isn't it about time that you let your spirit pray? That's a good question. Isn't it about time we let our spirit start doing the praying? It's by faith. You get in God's presence either here. If you're too uncomfortable to do it here in an altar call, go home and do it in your prayer closet. Go home and do it where there's nobody else around. I think it's easier when you have people encouraging you and praying for you. I don't want to be super spiritual. Coming into the Assemblies of God 20 years ago and you're getting prayed for and the guy on your right saying hallelujah and he's in your face and all you can think is halitosis and the person over here saying let go and the guy behind you saying hold on and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, I'm not talking about any of that. We just want you to come and pray and let God fill your spirit. And out of your spirit, man, you will begin to pray. And I'm going to tell you what, it will absolutely transform your life. I went to my in-laws the night I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I went over there to argue with them about why the Holy Spirit was not for today. Good Baptist boy. I knew that they were wrong. Went over there to argue, and I've told you all this story, but as we sat there, Renee's mother said, listen, we're not going to, no sense in arguing about this. And she just began to share her testimony. And I realized in that moment I was dry and that I was empty and I wanted more. And I sat there and I said in myself, I said, God, if this is real and this is you, I want everything you have for me. And I stood up and I said, will y'all pray for me right now? And Renee wasn't home. We weren't dating then. It was her mom and dad and I think her sister. And I didn't know it, but her baby brother had been in the back bedroom and he'd been interceding the whole time I was there for that conversation. And they came out of the house and gathered around me and prayed. And it wasn't 30 seconds. I started saying something. And when I heard it, I thought, well, that sounds like some Hebrew phrase that I knew. And Renee's mom said, just keep speaking it. Just keep praying. Keep trusting God. She said, the devil's going to come and tell you it wasn't real. Just forget about that. It's a bunch of nonsense. You just continue to pray in it. You just continue to speak out what God gave you by faith. And I did that every day. And about 5 or 6 days later, I was in my apartment by myself. I turned on my stereo and put on a praise and worship CD, and I had music cranked. There was middle of the day. I didn't have to worry about my neighbors. I had it cranked, and man, I was just praying, and I was worshiping God and singing at the top of my lungs, and I was trying to pray the best I could in that brand new prayer language, and I was saying it out, and I was praying, and as I was praying and worshiping, all of a sudden, some of you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, it was like a dam burst on the inside of my heart. And waterfall just began to flood over me and tears began to pour and my prayer language just took off and there was this flow of the Spirit coming out. And brothers and sisters, I ain't ever looked back since. Renee says I'm more Pentecostal than she is and she was raised, I'm telling you what, she's pretty Pentecostal. I had a young man, he was a little bit older than me at the time. I was youth pastoring. When I youth pastored in Brandenburg, Kentucky. Tony was probably about 35, 36 years old, never spoken in tongues in his life. He was raised in the Assemblies of God. From just the time he was a little fella all the way up. He had gone to altar call after altar call after altar call, wanting to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Finally, he had come to the conclusion that there was something wrong with him because he had never spoken in tongues. Close to 35 or 36 years. And I was youth pastoring in this church, and we had had a huge revival that had broken out among our teenagers. Kids had gotten saved left and right. We had 27 kids baptized in the Holy Spirit in 3 weeks. Just Wednesday night after Wednesday night, just kids powerfully getting touched and lives being changed. And Tony had kids in that age group, and so he would come in and help. Now, Tony was a quiet guy. He was very shy. He didn't want to open his mouth, which is part of the reason that he had never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm saying this for a reason, because you got to open your mouth. It's a tongue. But he had never done it. And so I'm telling this little boy, about 9 years old, had come up, and he wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Great. So I'm talking to this little boy, and I'm telling him how to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for you, buddy. We're going to pray that Jesus will fill you from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to begin to praise God out loud, just the way you know how. You just begin to talk to God out loud. And after we pray for you, at some point, by faith, you just begin to speak whatever God puts in your heart. It may start as a syllable. It may start as a sound. It may start, however it starts. You just begin to speak it out by faith, and God's going to fill you with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Tony's standing behind this little boy. And this little boy was so funny. He's standing there. He was as sincere as he could be, but his mouth was. And so I'm like, all right, just begin to talk to Jesus. I'm not listening. You just begin to talk. And he didn't speak in tongues that night because he wouldn't open his mouth. But Tony was standing behind that little boy listening. Tony doesn't. Like I said, he didn't talk to anybody. He was shy, quiet. He left the church. He went home, got in his prayer closet, sent his wife and kids away, got alone. And it wasn't 3 minutes, and he was speaking in tongues. And he called me on the phone, and man, he was screaming. I thought somebody died or somebody shot or something. And he says, I got it, Pastor, I got it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got it. And I said, you're talking about the tongues. He said, yeah, I got it. He said, I went home and I got it in my prayer closet, and I did exactly what you told that little boy to do, and it worked. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. And I love James says that no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, but God can tame the tongue. And He wants to use our tongues to bring glory to Him. Amen. I got another story, but I'm not going to tell it right now. I didn't realize it was already 12 o'clock. Doesn't matter. But we're going to close here with verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. I saved this one until the very end. Paul speaking. He's talking to his congregation in Corinth. And he said, I wish that all of you spoke in tongues. And you know, as a pastor, that's my desire for Destiny Church. Anybody that would come through the door, I would that you all spoke in tongues. If it builds you up, I want to see you built up. If it's a part of the weaponry that God's given you to combat the devil, then I want to see you dressed in every armor of God that He's given. I wish that you all spoke in tongues. And I know a ton of you do. But I know there's people here that never have. Maybe you're here and you never have spoken in tongues. And what I'm hoping that we have accomplished over last week and this week is that you have seen from the Bible that there is a baptism in the Spirit and that there is a prayer language that God wants you to have. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. And he wants to give you the gift of tongues to use for your personal edification, to be built up, to be made stronger in him. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's everybody just bow your heads. Come on, if there's anybody here and you say, I want that gift, I need that gift. Israel, put on something. When you say, I want it. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I understand that it's something that God gives. I understand it's for my edification, and I want it this morning. Come on, if that's you, would you just get out of your seat? We're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to pray that you be filled with the Spirit.